Lesson 95, Television Day, Stonehenge. The circle of stones that can be seen at Stonehenge on the Salisbury Plain in England is one of the oldest and most mysterious monuments in the world. The monument was probably put up between 1800 BC and 1400 BC. When it was completed, it consisted of a double circle of stones, with two more groups of stones outside the circle. Many of the stones used in this monument must have been transported over 250 miles to Stonehenge. Single stones, some of them weighing about 4 tons, must have been sent on rivers and rolled over land on tree trunks. They can't have been carried. The men who moved the stones didn't have wheels or horses. Each stone had to be moved by hand and placed in position. They were fitted together with great technical skill. There are many theories about the purpose of the stones. Stonehenge was certainly a meeting place. The stones have been arranged in a particular way to mark sunrise and sunset at certain times during the year. This may have been a place of worship of the sun and also an observatory. One interesting theory suggests that the stones were some kind of computer which was used to predict eclipses of the sun and moon.
Lesson 97. At the cloakroom. Mother and father went to the theatre last night. Mother left her coat at the cloakroom. When she went to collect it, she couldn't find her ticket.
Excuse me, I left a coat here when I came in, but I've lost my ticket.
If your coat's here, madam, it will be found. What colour is it?
It's a black woolen coat.
There are lots of black coats, I'm afraid. If it were some other colour, it would be easy to find. Anything special about it?
Yes, there's some fur round the collar.
All these coats have fur round the collar. Can you see it among these?
No, I'm afraid I can't. All these coats look the same to me.
What else can you tell me about it?
There's a dirty Kleenex in one of the pockets.
Madam, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a dirty Kleenex in all these coats.
Lesson 99. Homework. Finished, Sandy cried. Me too, Sue cried. Gretel has often noticed that Sandy and Sue don't have very much homework. She raised the subject at dinner the other evening, and Mr. Clark tried to explain. In some countries, he said, children are made to do a lot of homework from the moment they begin school. They're often obliged to learn their lessons by heart, and they are tested each day by their teachers. The children learn from exactly the same books and follow a strict state program. It's quite the opposite in England. Teachers rarely make very young children do any homework. They rarely get their pupils to learn lessons by heart. The teachers themselves are usually free to choose the books they will use. Some teachers don't use books at all. After the age of 11 or 12, of course, children are generally made to do some homework, but never very much. From the age of 14 onwards, they usually have quite a lot, as they will be taking important examinations. But even then, the question of homework is largely their own responsibility. Gretel thought English children were very lucky, but Sandy and Sue didn't agree, which is hardly surprising.
Lesson 101. Television Day. Lewis Carroll.
Which would you rather be? A mathematician or an author? Perhaps you will never be faced with this kind of choice. Lewis Carroll was both a mathematician and an author. He was a lecturer in mathematics at Oxford University.
but he is better known as the author of two of the most famous children's books that have ever been written, Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. The author's real name was Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, but he preferred to use the pen name Lewis Carroll when he wrote Alice, and this is the name we remember him by. Alice in Wonderland was published in 1865, when its author was 33 years old. It was followed by Through the Looking Glass in 1871. Both books were written for a real girl called Alice, but they have been read by millions of children since they were first published. These stories are about a dream world in which Alice meets strange creatures and has interesting adventures. I'm sure you know this already, but if you don't, you had better read the stories yourself. The poem Jabberwocky, which you are learning, has been taken from Through the Looking Glass. Here is the next verse. He took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree and stood a while in thought.
Lesson 103. Mrs. Gasbag minds her own business.
Well, there I was, looking out of the window and minding my own business as usual, when I noticed this man coming down the street. He was wearing a hat and a big coat. I saw him go to the house next door. I watched him try to open the front door. He pushed hard, but he couldn't open it. Then I heard him swearing. After that, I saw him go round to the back of the house. I heard him wandering about. Then I saw him carry a ladder round to the front. I caught a glimpse of him climbing up the ladder towards an open window. Then he went in, head first. I heard him shutting the window after that. So, of course, I telephoned the police. I mean, I always mind my own business, but you must admit, this man's behavior was very suspicious. The police arrested him. But unfortunately, it wasn't a thief at all. It was my next door neighbor, Mr. Clark. His wife was out, and he had forgotten his key. Lesson 105, Speaker's Corner.
Gretel thinks it's fun exploring London. She's often pleasantly surprised. Yesterday she went shopping in Knightsbridge, and then she decided to walk through Hyde Park. After she had been walking for some time, she saw a crowd of people and went towards them. She didn't realize it at the time, but she had come to Speaker's Corner. Here, people are free to express their opinions about any subject under the sun, and they can say just what they like. It was interesting listening to the speakers. Gretel heard a man with a long red beard violently attacking the present government. She heard members of the audience interrupting the speaker and asking him questions. The man was very rude about the Prime Minister. A policeman who happened to be walking past at the time didn't pay the slightest attention. Nearby, another man was supporting the government, and he too was being interrupted. Further away, a middle-aged lady was criticizing television programs, which she claimed did a lot of harm. Meanwhile, an old man was singing hymns to himself. Walking round London is really enjoyable, Gretel told Sue later. There's such a variety of things going on.
Lesson 107, Television Day. Fire, friend and enemy. Who doesn't love sitting beside a cozy fire on a cold winter's night? Who doesn't love to watch flames curling up a chimney? fire is one of man's greatest friends, but also one of his greatest enemies. Many big fires are caused by carelessness. A lighted cigarette thrown out of a car or train window, or a broken bottle lying on dry grass can start a fire. Sometimes, though, a fire can start on its own. Wet hay can begin burning by itself. This is how it happens. The hay starts to rot and begins to give off heat which is trapped inside it. Finally, it bursts into flame. That's why farmers cut and store their hay when it's dry. Fires have destroyed whole cities. In the 17th century, a small fire which began in a baker's shop burnt down nearly every building in London. Moscow was set on fire during the war against Napoleon. This fire continued burning for 7 days. And, of course, in 64 AD, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Even today, in spite of modern firefighting methods, fire causes millions of pounds worth of damage each year, both in our cities and in the countryside. It has been wisely said, but fire is a good servant, but a bad master.
Lesson 109. Busy as usual.
Fancy meeting you here, Mick. How have you been keeping?
Fine, thanks, Harry. How about you?
Very well, thanks.
Busy?
As usual.
See how that crane picked up all those bricks. Oh, I can't help admiring the way they do that.
Imagine digging a hole that deep. They began digging 3 months ago, and they haven't finished digging yet.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It'll be a tall building when it's finished.
I wouldn't mind betting it'll be more than 10 stories high.
A block of offices, I expect.
Look at all these people behind us.
I wish they'd stop pushing.
Hey, would you mind?
I can't stand pushing.
Nor can I.
I love work, Harry.
Me too, Mick. It's such an interesting thing to watch.
Lesson 111. The Tower of London. Gretel recently went to the Tower of London. She enjoyed her visit very much. She saw the crown jewels in the museum there. The jewels are carefully guarded by men who still wear 16th century costumes and are known as Yeomen of the Guard or Beefeaters. Gretel enjoyed walking round the old buildings and on the well-kept lawns. She saw the famous tower ravens. There is a legend that if these birds ever fly away, the tower will fall. It was a bright day, and everything looked cheerful. But as she walked round, Gretel read about the terrible history of the tower in her guidebook. It was once a prison for kings and queens and important people, many of whom were executed there. Gretel looked at the traitor's gate and imagined famous people walking through it on their way to execution. Two of Henry VIII's wives, Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard. The great writer Sir Thomas More, and many others. On such a sunny day, it was hard to imagine so many dreadful things happening at this place. Wherever she looked, Gretel could see tourists everywhere, laughing and enjoying themselves. How terrible it must have been, and how different it all is today.
Lesson 113. Television Day. Picasso.
Pablo Picasso was able to draw well even when he was a small boy. It was clear he was going to be an artist. His father, Don José Ruiz, was in charge of a museum in Malaga, the town where Pablo was born. Don José's hobby was painting,
and Pablo learnt a great deal by watching him. Soon there was nothing more his father could teach him. The boy could do anything with his hands. He could paint, work with clay, or with any material he could find. When he was in his teens, he painted a picture called Science and Charity, for which he won a gold medal. Then he enrolled at the Royal Academy in Madrid, but left without completing his studies because there was nothing he could learn from his teachers. He continued drawing by himself and then went to Paris. Soon after arriving, he changed his style of painting. In 1907, he painted Les Demoiselles d'Avignon, which some people think is the first truly modern picture. He experimented with all kinds of styles and materials. Apart from painting, Picasso has done sculpture, pottery, metalwork, posters, and designs for the theater. He has painted men, women, and children, especially acrobats and clowns. He has painted animals, especially bulls, and objects, especially guitars. His work shows all the richness and variety of life itself. Lesson 115. All good things come to an end. Gretel's year with the club is coming to an end. She's getting ready for her return to Austria. She's looking forward to returning home, but she's very sorry to leave, too.
How will you be traveling, Gretel?
By air, Mr. Clark. I prefer flying to traveling over land. I enjoy traveling by train, but I hate sea journeys. I'm such a bad sailor.
Have you bought presents for your family and friends?
I haven't quite finished my shopping yet, but so far I've succeeded in finding some lovely things. You must all come to Austria soon. You must come skiing. I'd love to, but I can't ski. You'll soon learn, Sandy.
I hope you've enjoyed staying with us, Gretel.
We shall miss you.
You've all been so kind. I shall miss you all very much. Well, it's no use everyone crying about it.
It's a sad occasion, Sandy. I bet you won't admit it, but I think you're crying too. And I feel like crying myself.
Lesson 117. Seeing Gretel off.
It was a sad day yesterday. Gretel returned to Austria. The family wanted to see her off, so Mr. Clark drove them all to London Airport. Gretel didn't have much baggage. She was afraid of having to pay excess, so she had already sent a lot of things home by train. She checked in at Terminal 2 and had her baggage weighed. It was 20 kilos exactly. Then she was given her embarkation card. I've still got plenty of time, Gretel said. Why don't we go up to the cafeteria instead of standing here? They all went upstairs and had some coffee. Everyone was silent.
Cheer up, Mr. Clark said. It's not the end of the world. Got all your presents, Gretel?
I'm going to buy some whiskey and cigarettes at the duty-free shop, Gretel said. Then the announcement came over the loudspeakers. Will passengers traveling to Vienna on flight AU-285 kindly make their way to the departure lounge, please? Mother and Sue kissed Gretel goodbye. Mr. Clark and Sandy shook her hand warmly. Mother and Sue had tears in their eyes, and so did Mr. Clark and Sandy, though they tried to pretend everything was normal.
Lesson 119. Television Day. Learning a Language. This is the last program in our series. Today, we want to tell you something about learning a language, and English in particular. Students used to learn languages by memorizing grammar rules and word lists. Some unlucky ones still try to learn this way. It is almost impossible to become skillful in speaking a language unless you use it, and all modern methods are based on this theory. The course you have been studying is audiovisual. This means it attempts to teach you by matching sounds and pictures. That's why it has been called look, listen, and learn. The pictures help you to understand, remember, and use the language you are learning. These methods can be used in the classroom or in a language laboratory, where students practice drills which have been recorded on tape. English is the official language used in Australia, Canada, the British Isles, New Zealand, South Africa, and the United States of America. But it has also become international and is the principal second language throughout the world. Perhaps through English, we will be able to understand each other better. We will be able to communicate whatever part of the world we come from. Goodbye, children, everywhere.